have this friend. He finds these really good deals on the internet. You know what I'm talking about? Like, these deals that are way too good to be true. And the other day he walked up to me, he's like, dude, I found a cruise around the world for $300. Seriously, cruise around the world for $300? Yeah, I would love to see activities on that cruise. Rowing. Sailing. Learning Morse code, shooting flares. Eating other passengers. What's the name of the cruise line? The Navy?
If I had a hammer, I'd a hammer in the morning, I'd a hammer in the evening, all over this land. I'd a hammer out of danger, I'd a hammer out of warning, I'd a hammer out of love between my brothers and my sisters, all over this land.
WRJN Radio. Thank you for joining us. I'm Don Rosen. And with me, His Honor, the Mayor. Mayor Corey Mason is here today. You and I both saw Peter, Paul, and Mary at Ravinia.
Years ago, yeah.
Yeah, you were probably the guy sitting in back of me, hitting me with your knees the whole time.
I was out on the lawn somewhere.
Yeah, were you on the, we were on the lawn, too.
Okay.
It was great to see them. I love Ravinia. That was nice. Yeah. Used to take, we drove there, but there was a train that actually stopped off there at Ravinia. They could, I don't know if it was Metro or whatever, one of those trains.
Yeah, I think it's Metro.
Yeah, took you over there. That's nice. In the summer, they do nice concerts. They still do them, you think?
They do. They do. I haven't been in years, but they still do them.
We saw Patti LuPone there doing Broadway show music there, too. That was pretty good. All right, the mayor's not here to talk about Ravinia or Peter, Paul, and Mary. We're here to talk about what's going on in the city of Racine. Are we in good shape or not?
We've got some great things happening. You know, downtown is we've got those new apartments going up. Those will hopefully be ready to go later this year. So
every time I look, they add another floor.
I know, and I think they're done adding the floors. But
it's like the Tower of Babel.
it's a good 5-story building. It's going to have some great views of the harbor, and you know, the Verdant Hotel just got certified as LEED Gold, so it's the most environmentally efficient hotel in the state of Wisconsin right now. So
I heard the food there is great. The restaurants they got a rooftop thing going on there too.
If you go there, the restaurant, the Margarita on the ground floor, is fantastic, but you have to go up and see the view of the rooftop bar. It is just really, you can look over one shoulder and see the lake and the lighthouse, and look over the other shoulder and see the SC Johnson Research Tower, and then look over another way and you see the river running through the downtown. It's a spectacular view of the
You can
downtown.
Probably see our radio tower too.
You can.
You can see that from the interstate.
Yeah.
320 feet of it.
Yeah.
So downtown is in good shape.
Yeah. And we got some great programs that we want to make sure people know about. We've got these home repair grants that are going out pretty quickly. So we have these neighborhood TIDs that we've created that allow people to do home repairs on their homes in those spaces. And so those open up May 1st. And so we want to make sure people know about those. news. We got a youth employment program that I wanted to talk a little bit about. We're going to take 50 young people in the community and match the talent they have with the opportunities to work for the city. It's an 8-week paid internship program that we have in the city.
What age are we talking about?
So 16 to 24 is the age group that we're looking for in that space.
16-year-olds are now saying, I don't want to work. The mayor's making us work. I don't want to work this summer.
No, it's actually, I mean, I've been thrilled with it. We get more applicants than we have spaces. People submit a letter or make a little video about why they want to work. And what's great about it is we put young people in different departments, in every city department. So if you think, you know, you might want to be a scientist, well, maybe we'll put you in the wastewater or water utility so you can learn how to do water testing. If you think you might want to be a police officer or a firefighter, we have opportunities there for people to work down there. And if they really enjoy that, we put them into our cadet program. We just had three young people get hired as cadets just this last week. So it's a great way to, you know, there's some people who are just like, oh, there's not people here who want to do these jobs. And, you know, this program is really meant to challenge that assumption. What we find is when we tell young people, there's great opportunities to come work for the city, learn about these careers, get experience with these careers, they do, and they really enjoy it. And so it's been a win-win for us. We're able to fund this program with President Biden's American Rescue Plan dollars and put people to work. And what's great for us is it's a positive experience for those kids. And it's a great opportunity for us to get the future workforce that we need. So we're excited about it.
How did people sign up for it?
So it'll open up next week. And so if you go to growracine.org, it currently says you can sign up for a little text notification when it opens up. We find the young people these days don't necessarily read websites as much as they do text notifications. So you sign up for the text notification and then you're off to the running. And, you know, we've gotten some great applicants who want to do some great things. And again, every city department has opportunities for young people. And, you know, this will be our third year, and it's great. So we spend, you know, they spend 4 days for 8 weeks working in the department. And then on Fridays, we do sort of we'll do financial literacy one day. We'll do how to do an application another day. We'll do, a whole host of things that make them more likely to succeed as potential applicants for us. And, you know, we're at a place as a city, we've got to, like many employers, we have an aging workforce and people are starting to retire. We've got to replace those workers with the next generation of workers.
I urge all my neighbors to sign up for this from the city. I get these text messages every...
Yeah, the curbside alerts.
At 4 o'clock, the day before the garbage goes out. Yeah. It's a great reminder.
Yeah.
You're sitting there, you just took your shoes off, you're ready to relax, and all of a sudden, take the garbage out.
Right. Well, and sometimes, I mean, is it a recycling week? Is it not a recycling
yes,
week?
Yes, it tells you on here, right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's really helpful.
I have the calendar at home they give you with your tax bill.
Yep.
But I can never, does gold mean yes, or green mean recycling? Yep. What does that mean? I don't understand it. But you have to remember, every time there's a holiday, the day it shifts. Moves.
That's right. So that's where the text reminders are really helpful.
My neighbor told me about that. Yeah. Wish other my rest of my neighbors. Then you need a text message. My neighbors need a text message to take in the garbage pails. We got to have that text message. It's time to take them in. We already picked up your garbage.
Yes, you are supposed to take them in by the end of the day when we pick them up. But there are occasionally people who will leave them out there for a few days.
Yeah. People leave them out but where I live all week. They just take the garbage out to the curb and put it in the thing there.
Yeah, they should take it back to it.
Yeah, of course they should. People aren't always nice about that, though. All right. No Mo May.
Yeah, it's talking about No Mo May. So No Mo May, it's meant to get at two things that sort of cross against each other. So unfortunately in this community, we get a lot of complaints on abandoned properties or people just not maintaining their properties with tall grass and weeds. So every year we're out, doing enforcement on that and saying to property owners, sometimes they're absentee landlords and sometimes they don't do it. And so the city taxpayers wind up having to cut these lawns down to size so it doesn't feel overgrown. It gets overgrown. People start dumping things. It can be a real hazard and it leads to community blight. Now, at the same time, there's been a move in this country to create more space for the pollinators, for the bees, for the butterflies.
Bees.
That's
right.
And, you know, I didn't realize this at the start. We need bees and pollinators to make our food, right? If there's no bees, there's no butterflies to pollinate the food that affects our food source. In addition to just having the biodiversity of having those insects around us, it helps with the diversity of the plants that we have in the area. So people are like, well, we don't want to mow in May. There's this whole national movement of what to do. So the question became, well, what do we do? Because we can't wait until June to start enforcing our tall grass and weeds ordinance. If you do that, it's already a foot high, and then you'll never get ahead of it. So we have a program now called No Mow May, where instead of getting a $50 fine for not mowing your lawn and wanting to have it for the, you can buy a yard sign for $25. You put it in your front yard and it says no mow May. And then the enforcement team knows, oh, this isn't somebody letting their lawn go or refusing to upkeep their yard. This is somebody who's trying to create some space for the pollinators. So we sort of give them a pass on enforcement for May. And then June comes and they got to go back to enforcing it. But we've had a lot of requests from people saying, we'd really like to not have to mow in May. How do we do this? And so I think we've found a good solution that allows us to still enforce for those folks who should be cutting their lawn and are just going to let it go for the year. Which, by the way, is one of the number one complaints people get in the office when the summer comes along. When's somebody going to cut that lawn over there? It looks terrible. Like, you know, we get a lot of complaints about that. With people who are trying to do a good thing for the pollinators. So it's the first year we're doing it. It's a bit of a pilot. We're going to see how it goes. But if people want that, they can go down to the clerk's office and, you know, pay the fee and we'll give them a yard sign and they can plunk it down in their yard and we'll give them a pass for no mow May.
We do it in the backyard. My mother, oh, there's a Freudian slip. My wife, we were at the state fair once and they had a honeybee thing set up there where the honeys are and they had all these honeybees. And I didn't know it, but my wife said the honeybees were disappearing. They don't know where they're going, and where are they? We need the honeybees. I never heard of it. I never gave them much thought.
Yeah.
And I started thinking about it more and more. And so we leave the backyard for the first week or May or so. We leave it unmowed, the entire yard, which is fine with me. Then I start mowing little sections of it. Now, there's a section where all the bees go because I can see all the little things growing on the grass. So I mow around the edges, and the next week I'll mow a little bit more. And the end, I've got that 5-foot by 5-foot patch where the bees go, and I leave that. Because if I let it go too long, I can't get the mower through the backyard. And I'm like there with a machete going through the cane fields in South America trying to knock down with the stuff. But we do it slowly.
Yeah.
And so we leave it to the end. And yeah, it's true. The bees are out there. I see them.
Yeah. No, they come. The bees and the butterflies, they'll show up if you give them the plant life to be able to do it. So it's I think, a good sort of how do we maintain, you know, the neighborhood so they don't look like we got abandoned properties or blighted properties, but still get people. So it's no mow May. Come down to the clerk's office in City Hall if you want a sign. And we'd love to see more signs out there and give them a chance for the pollinators to do what they do.
And you know what it is, too? The whole world is connected by different things. And people think, if the bees aren't there, who cares? You will care.
Yeah.
Because everything is connected. That's the way the world was built.
Yeah.
Everything, the little tiniest things. I mean, people say, I wish all the gnats would go away. No, you don't, because animals live on those gnats.
That's right.
The insects. You just wish they wouldn't bite you, but you can't have them go away.
Well, and I initially thought, well, bees, you know, we need the bees for the honey, and we do, but I didn't realize how important pollinators are for our food
supply. Right.
For all those grains, for all the...
Yeah.
You need the pollinators to be in play. So it's a good little way for us to do our part, and for the people who are enthusiastic about wanting to do No Mow May, it's a way for them to do that program without running awry of our tall grass.
The mayor is here. We're at WRJN. Keep it right here. Hometown Radio Refreshed, a civic media station, 719.
One.
Siobhan's. It's 722 WRJN Radio. Quickly, we're looking for some showers today. Chance of showers with high near 53. Cloudy with showers tonight, possibly. Lows 43. But then, sun comes out tomorrow. Highs near 55. Sunny on Saturday, 57. And sunny on Sunday with a high near 65. The Brewers are in Cincinnati taking on the Reds, 11:35 this morning. Breakfast with the Brewers, 11:35. You know, I was thinking earlier, when the Dodgers play at Citi Field against the Mets at, let's say, a noon game, they used to call it the businessman special, the noon game, they're watching the game out in California, 9 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I mean, you wake up in the morning.
Baseball and breakfast.
Yeah. That happens. Mayor Corey Mason is here, Racine's mayor, and we're talking about a whole different bunch of projects going on. Let's continue. You got some more.
Yeah, we got this home repair program that we're really excited about. These are $10,000 grants that we give to homeowners that are in particular neighborhoods where we set up this program. And it's been really good for us. It's meant to do two things. You know, we hear people say in some of the neighborhoods, you know, what's going on with the houses? Clearly we got houses that need a new roof or need a new porch, or there's something falling into disrepair. And so we've set up this program where you can get a $10,000 grant. You have to put up a 10% match to do it. So we put up $10,000, the homeowner puts up $1,000, but it allows them to do some home repairs that lets them get up to code on their porch or their roof or their windows or whatever it might be. And it's been really successful. It's really helped stabilize the neighborhoods. You have to be an owner-occupant to qualify. But we've had two neighborhoods that have been doing this for a while. One sort of on the south side, sort of historic district between, you know, 14th and Decoven. And then the other area is between Gould and Melvin, and it goes from the lakefront all the way to the city limit. So we've had some real success there. We have two new neighborhoods that will begin this year, sort of along the Spring Street corridor. It goes really from Northwestern West and then everything sort of over by Osborne into sort of West Racine and the Kinsey Heights and that space there, if you're north of Kinsey there. So it's really meant to stabilize those neighborhoods, give homeowners an extra incentive to want to fix up their houses. And so if you're doing something and you're maybe on a fixed income and it's to get you up to code compliance, it's a 10-to-1 match from the city. If you want to do something a little bit fancier, like, hey, I'd like to have a nice new kitchen or put in a new bathroom, then it's a 1-to-1 match. Then it's a 50-50 split. But we've had great success with it the first couple of years. We're expanding it to two new neighborhoods, and it really helps fix up the neighborhoods. People feel really good about it.
We just put a new porch on.
Nice.
We found a guy who does great work. Once you find a handyman who can do great work, be friends with him.
Yeah.
Because he put in this new porch, and we put a new railing on the other side of the porch. Which we always wanted, because when it's slippery out and you're carrying stuff in your left hand walking down the porch, it's hard to hold onto the railing. So we put another railing in, redid the whole porch, found some buried treasure under the old porch.
What was the buried treasure?
We found a crown, a scepter. We found some rubies. Actually, our home was built by a Lake Michigan sea captain.
No kidding.
You can find that out at the Historical Society.
Yeah, yeah.
You can go through, even if you go to the library, you can find the old phone books.
Yes.
Used to have the occupation of the person in there. Yeah. So the guy who built our home lived on Chatham originally.
Sure.
Then decided to build a home on our lot back in 1914, 1912, somewhere around there. But he was a Lake Michigan sea captain. So we had a wall replaced several years ago. And I said, I wonder if he buried something back there in that wall, like a map, a treasure map or something like that. So when the wall was done, he took it off, took off the old wall, took a flashlight, and I went through there. No, there was nothing buried there. But what I wanted to do was put a treasure map in there. So 50, 60 years from now, I tear the wall down. Say, oh, I found a map. Yeah. It goes nowhere.
Yeah.
But they'll be tearing apart the city looking for this treasure. But yeah, there was nothing. But, you know, who knows? There's a lot of walls in our house that are original. And
could be.
Maybe he buried all his gold doubloons in there that he owned from, you know, his treasure on Lake Michigan. You never know.
You never know.
Go ahead.
So if people want to do this program, we have a website called buildupracine.org. If you want to see if you're in one of the neighborhoods that have the home repair programs, you can go there. The window to apply, because there's finite resources for it, is May 1st for the two new TIDs and then June 1st for TID 22 and 23. That are on the near north side and the south side historic district. We want to encourage people to take advantage of them. People might have a ton of questions, right? Like, how do I, you know, do I get the money? Does the contractor get the money? What's the process? What does it look like? We've got a lot of information there and a contact email and phone number if people have questions. But we want to have people participate. The other thing I'll mention to it, though, people say, well, Mayor, what happens if I don't live in one of these neighborhoods? And we look at other neighborhoods where we might expand the program, but you have to meet certain statutory requirements under state law for these neighborhoods to work. And so what we do in the other neighborhoods, so what's great about this program is it's not income driven. It's, you don't have to income qualify to be in that program. Outside of these districts, we do have income qualified grants for lower income individuals. And then we also have low interest loans for projects if you're not in one of these districts. So if you want to invest in your home and help build it up, the city has resources. It's obviously in our interest to have nice neighborhoods where the houses look nice and people want to take pride in their neighborhoods. So we encourage people to take a look at those programs. And, you know, we want to help you keep your home beautiful and your neighborhood beautiful.
We just redid the whole inside of our house. We do it little pieces.
Sure.
You can't do the whole thing at once. We did the floors. We got rid of the carpeting. We got the wooden floors.
Oh, yeah, the hardwood underneath.
But they're not really a fake hardwood, but it looks real.
Oh, that's right. Right.
And the bathrooms were redone.
That's great.
The plumbing, everything redone in the house. Because, you know, it's an old house. And we're, you know, you got to keep the value up. I'm not going to be here forever. And when our son inherits the house, you know, he's got to have some value in the house, and it keeps up the value. People come in and say, wow, remember, it's all curb appeal.
Yeah.
You know, people walk in a house, and when they see it, the house looks nice, they're willing to pay what you want.
That's right.
If they see a dump, they're going to short you on the price.
That's exactly
so
right.
So keep it up. These are good programs, by the way.
Yeah, no, we're really excited about it.
Yeah. And if you can't get the loan, the mayor will give you his Visa card. And
that is not true.
I thought I'd try it.
My wife will make sure that's not true.
Okay. Mayor Corey Mason's here. We have more coming up with the mayor. Some of your questions you texted. I've got some of Stuart Waddell's questions, too. All straight ahead here at WRJN Radio at 729. We're looking for some showers today. Highs near 53. Right now it's gorgeous out there. It's cloudy, but it's 47 degrees. Light jacket maybe for work today. That's about it. You want to text us? 262-630. What am I talking about? 635 at WRGN. His Honor, Mayor Corey Mason is here. Mayor from the city of Racine. Chubby Checker, the twist. You know how he got his name?
I don't.
All right. He was named by Dick Clark's wife. She named two singers. She named Fats Domino and Chubby Checker. Now, if you think about it, Fats Chubby, Domino's Checkers.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
They're named after their... They wasn't really fat, but Chubby Checker and Fats Domino. She named both of those... she gave them their names. And the rest is history. I wonder what you would have called me.
I don't know. It's a good, I don't know if you want to know. Right?
I don't want to know either. Maybe that's good. We don't know. We're talking about some programs here. We're taking text messages from you at 262-300-7445. Or you can download the Civic Media app. Go to WRJN. Text us that way. We were talking about the composting program.
Yeah, so this is a pilot that we're trying to get off the ground. And there was an, I mean, I said, so composting, you know, really important thing. It keeps food out of the landfills, which, you know, a lot of waste that goes into landfills is actually food. And so, you know, if I would be remiss if I didn't mention this is the town that invented the garbage disposal. So, you know, some people take care of their food waste that way. But if you want to compost it, some people are like, well, I don't want to put it in the backyard. Isn't there someplace else that we could go to do it? So if we can get enough people signed up for it, we will do a food waste program over at the Pearl Street facility so that if people want to sign up for the program, we give you a little ticket that says that you're in the program and you can begin to bring your food waste there if that's how people want to get rid of it. If they don't want to do backyard composting, if they don't want to use the garbage disposal, it's a chance to do it. We had a number of people ask for the program this year. And so, again, we can get the first 100 people signed up for it. It'll take care of covering its own cost. And we're hoping to get people signed up for it. If people are interested in that, they can give the city clerk's office a call. It's $50 for the year to sign up for it. You can bring your food waste in and compost it from there.
You know what I like passing by? The Urban Garden.
We have, yeah.
It's great. It's right near Pearl Street. And I see people out there all summer long. It's an urban garden. It's a whole block. And everybody's got their own garden in there.
It's right. Like
little sections and everybody's growing something different.
You get a little plot. Yeah.
Yeah, you get a little plot of land and you grow your own stuff on there. Urban Gardens. What a great idea.
Yeah, that's a real successful site. The other place is over at Davies Park on West Boulevard. We've got some urban gardens there. And it's the same thing. People get their little plot, right? And they come out and they weed it and they plant vegetables or they plant flowers and do what they want to do. It's a great way for people to get outside and, you know, get their hands dirty, literally, right? And interact with other people, but interact with the land. And it's a food source for some people.
Not everybody's got a backyard.
Right, that's right.
And so it's a great way to do it. Okay, from Stuart J. Waddles, our news director, he wants to know the status of the downtown YMCA property and if you have any insights on the future use of the property.
Yeah, it's a great question. Insights on future use is a bit down the road. The first thing we've got to do is demolish the building. So people may have seen in the newspaper that the city did acquire the YMCA from the YMCA. We purchased it for $12,500. It is a building that has essentially been condemned given the state of the building. We knew we kind of needed to do something pretty quickly to get a hold of the building when I got an message from the fire chief. He said, look, it is so dangerous that if there's a fire in there, I'm not sending firefighters into the building. We will put the fire out externally, but it is not safe to go into that building. So one thing I would say to any listeners who are out there who might think it might be fun to go in and look around, and it is not a safe structure to be inside of. So I would encourage people to stay out of it. But the process now will be to do the remediation to get all the asbestos and lead out of the building. And then after that, we will put out bids to take the building down.
Any idea what they're going to use the property for?
Not yet. The most important thing is to secure the site to make sure that it's safe. So we got to bring the building down, got to do some work to stabilize the bluff. There's apparently some underground oil tanks that we've got to have removed. So we got to get the site stabilized first. And then I think we can imagine what it might look like. I imagine we'll put it out to bid and see what people want to do on that site. People will say, oh my gosh, it's a great view. It's a trickier site than people realize, though, just given it's sort of on an angle on the bluff and the work that you want to do there would be substantial to redevelop it. But it's a potentially very good redevelopment site. What developers want when they come to town, though, is they want a site that's ready to go, right? They don't want to, you know, here's a building that might cost, you know, north of $1 million to take down. They want a development team is going to want to work with a city that's got a site that's ready to go. And so hopefully we can get the building down this summer and fall. And then by the time we're able to do that, then we can begin to think about what's next. How do we build up a plan that thinks strategically about what could be next for the Y?
You should bring it down like they bring down the hotels in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I know. One big thing.
They have somebody push the button, a contest winner, and the building comes down.
Well, you know, I tell you, when they started bringing the mall down, I was like, hey, can I sit in the, you know, in the big crane and knock it over? And they're like, well, you can sit in it, Mayor, but we're not going to let you actually, you know, operate the thing. The same thing with, I'm sure, with any explosive. Like, can I be the one to push the pump down? And I'm sure they're going to be, it's very nice, Mayor, but no.
I don't think they do pumps. I think they do that in Warner Brothers cartoons.
Right.
I don't think they have that lever.
That's right.
I think that's what the Roadrunner used,
that's
or
right.
the Coyote.
Right.
I think they use
right.
that. But yeah, that bringing that building. I used to work out there. I know looking at me, you'd never know it, but I used to work out at that
Well,
Y.
Look, I learned to swim there. I taught my kids how to swim there. Yeah. I will say, I think there's also this question of we don't have pools in the city anymore, right? The school district's going to close theirs. They've moved an auditorium out by Case High School. They're going to close the Horlick and Park pools. We don't have the Y with a pool. It is an issue that we don't have a space where kids can learn to swim in the city. We have some in the broader community, but it is sort of an issue that's there. I think, you know, what the Y's future looks like in the downtown, I'm excited to continue to have conversations with them and their board about what that looks like. But that was just a building that had fallen into such disrepair that it's unsafe to have it continue as it is. So we've got a responsibility to bring it down.
I was surprised when I heard that because I didn't think it was in that bad a shape when I was in there.
I
knew the parking lot was for stunkin' because it was all cracked and it was all pothole-y, but I never realized the building was in that shape. All right. Question two from Stuart. Where do you stand on the proposed casino in Kenosha? Now, obviously, you don't have a dog in this fight.
Yeah. I mean, I think if Kenosha wants to do their casino, that's great. I mean, there were previous proposals to do a casino when I was in the legislature down in Kenosha, and I was, you know, supportive of that. If there needed to be a vote on it, I mean, it's really a Kenosha proposal more than it is a Racine proposal. I mean, in as much that, you know, in an area where we're always looking for good paying jobs, and as much that if there's people from the Racine community who can go down there and get a decent paying job, it might be good. But it's not really going to have much of an impact here in the city of Racine. It's really a city of Kenosha project. I do know, you know, with Mayor Antaramian, it was one of the things that he was hoping to get done before he finished his tenure as mayor, and he has. It's definitely something that he can put on his list of accomplishments as he's closing up a pretty storied career as the Kenosha mayor.
Do you know if you add up all the numbers on the roulette wheel, you know what they come to?
I don't.
666.
Oh, my.
Still want to play? That is true, by the way, if you add them all up.
What's the old thing about, you know, how do you make money at a casino? You own one, but other than that, everybody else is, for the most part, you're going to lose money there, right?
Well, we could turn the YMCA, clean it up on the inside, get rid of the asbestos, and there we have it, gambling on the lake.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I mean, you can see what Kenosha, the first discussion I heard about Kenosha having a casino was in 1996. So think about that. So from 1996, and then assuming they get it built in 2025, that's, you know, almost 30 years of conversation to bring a casino to fruition. They are not small projects to come about.
Remember all the Greyhound tracks we had all over the state?
Yeah.
We had one
the one in Kenosha.
Kenosha, Dairyland Greyhound Park, which was, we had parties there for our listeners. It was fun.
Yeah.
You know, you go in there, you set up, we had a buffet set up for our listeners. Then you look out the window, see the dogs run. And they have one in Lake Geneva, which is now, I used to work out in Janesville. I went through there, and it's really depressing to go through and look at
what it is now.
Yeah, it's all down, but I mean, the parking lot's all weeds covered. They had them all over the state, and that was going to be big for the state of Wisconsin. Dog hound racing all... What happened?
I don't know. I remember when it opened, it was my senior year in high school. And so you had to be 18 to go, right? And so it was like a big thing. Once your 18th birthday, we're going to go down and check out the Greyhound track. And it was fun, right? But I don't think I went more than, I think I went twice. But so it's also just sort of, you know, you never know from a development standpoint, like, are things like a Greyhound track going to work, right? Is that going to carry the day? And even as you hear about casinos, none of them are just strictly gambling, right? It's gambling and entertainment, right? They bring in shows.
And hotels,
right?
Yeah. And they could lose money.
They could.
Look at Atlantic City.
Right. Or they could be very successful. So, you know, we wish them well in Kenosha on their efforts on the casino. You know, there's an opportunity for some people in Racine to get some jobs down there. I think it could be good. But in terms of, you know, I mean, that's Kenosha's gig, and I wish them well on it. Like I said, I voted for similar proposals when I was in the legislature, but, you know, my feelings about it are sort of irrelevant, right? It's Kenosha's deal, and they're going to have a great project down there, and we wish them every success with it.
I'm not much of a gambler. You know, when I lived in New York, they just started OTB, which is off-track betting. And I said, what is that? You know, let me go down there and see what, nobody knew what off-track betting was, because it was always illegal to bet off the track, you know, with your bookie. And the city said, how am I going to get in on this loot? They came up with off-track betting. And it was on Long Island in New York City. And you went down to the little strip malls, and they had the OTB office, and you just bet on the horses right there. They had the televisions. You can watch the races on closed circuit. And you put your $2 down, and I never bet more than that. I never bet more than I was. And if I lost $2, it was fine.
Yeah.
But people were betting hundreds of dollars at OTB.
Yeah.
And I only went to one horse race once in my life. It was exciting.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was not much of a gambler. So, but there are people, they're betting their mortgages on these horses.
That's what people should be doing, gaming and not gambling more than I can afford to lose. That's the challenge with all of that.
Yeah, everybody thinks they have a system.
They do.
You know what Mike Tyson once said? I have a friend of mine who's was the New York State Athletic Commissioner. And he always said what Mike Tyson says, everybody's got a plan until you get that punch in the face.
Yeah, that's right. and then what?
And then the plan goes out. All right, here's a question for you from one of our listeners. What is going on by the old tannery building?
The old tannery
building. Do you know what they're talking about?
I don't.
I don't either. All right, well.
Could they be more specific?
It's a text message.
The tannery building.
I don't know. All right, let's try this question here. Can you ask the mayor whatever happened to the Pershing Drive redevelopment with the rock barrier wall?
Yeah, great question. There's a lot going on there. So you've got sort of that whole stretch down there from, you know, Festival Hall and then down Pershing Park Drive. And at the end of it is Sam Myers Park, right? So people might remember, I will never forget the winter and spring of 2020. Within 6 weeks, we had a 100-year storm on Lake Michigan. All told, from one end of the city limits to the other, almost $80 million worth of damage. So it was a substantial storm. We had a cyber attack in City Hall. We had a ransomware event. And then COVID started in March of that year. That was all within like a six-week period in 2020. And I hope to never have another six-week period like that. But so the question becomes, what do we do with, you know, just the substantial amount of damage that's there? We've had some success getting Sam Myers Park rebuilt with FEMA funds, with federal emergency funds. And so that's underway now. So if people drive down on 10th there along Gateway and see, or 11th rather, and drive down by Pershing and see what's going on just at the bottom there, and you look to your right after you pass Gateway, you'll see a lot of work being done to reshore that up. And then along Pershing Park on the south end, we've put in some stone to try to solidify it. There's two big challenges about how to figure out how to rebuild the Pershing Park Drive to make it more secure. So one of the maddening things with dealing with FEMA, the Federal Emergency Authority, is we'll say, well, okay, this rock wall just failed. We've got to replace it with something better. FEMA says, no. We'll only give you money to replace the thing that was there before. But then you'll say, yeah, but it just broke. Like, it didn't work. Like, why would we replace the thing that just broke in the big storm? Well, that's our policy. We only replace things as they were. I'm like, but it just broke. Why would we build that again? And then the Army Corps of Engineers, which is another part of the federal government, says, oh, well, we would never give you a permit to build that thing that just failed before. So you're in this sort of catch-22 of what to do. And so you have cities like Racine all over the place trying to figure this out.
I'd last 9 seconds in your job because I'd be screaming at people, telling and hanging up on him, and I get nothing done. 9 seconds I would last. The mayor is here. Racine's mayor, Corey Mason, is here with us. Cloudy with showers today. Highs near 53. Maybe some showers tonight. But tomorrow, the sun's out. All right. 55 the high tomorrow. 57 on Saturday and sunny and 65. Break out the barbecue on Sunday. All right. 749 WRJN. More with the mayor coming up right here at WRJN Radio. Hometown Radio Refreshed, a Civic Media station. WRJN Radio, Hometown Radio Refreshed. We had the question about the tannery. If the person who texted it wants to, you know, give us a little more info on
it. Yeah, yeah.
A the mayor will be glad to answer it. Just, I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, we have several buildings that were once tanneries, so if you could be a little more specific, it'd be good to know.
Okay, I just showed you a photograph here.
Yeah.
And I lost the photograph already because I was showing you another photograph.
It was me and Mayor Mitch.
Yeah, so talk about that. Well, here it is right here. It says, Biden campaign co-chair stops by in Racine during a two-day tour of Wisconsin. It's a nice picture of you. You look like you're really interested.
We were, absolutely.
just kidding. Looks like you're paying attention.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's bad if they take a picture and you're like looking at the ceiling.
Right, right.
But that's a good picture. So tell us about the meeting.
Yeah, so part of it is just like to remind people a lot of these projects that we've been doing, we're seeing a lot of these projects that we've been talking about today that came directly from the American Rescue Plan Act that President Biden signed into law, or it comes from the bipartisan infrastructure law that President Biden signed into law, or it comes from the Inflation Reduction Act, which does a lot of environmental decarbonization work that we can get grants for. So those all were things that are just really important for the city of Racine. We've got six projects, road projects that are federally funded bipartisan infrastructure law projects that we've got underway. And this youth employment program, this adult high school program that I think we've talked about another time, some of the home buyer assistance that we've been able to do, and frankly, even just maintaining salaries for police and fire at the height of the pandemic, we wouldn't have been able to do any of that if it weren't for President Biden and those investments that he made in cities like Racine all over America. So I think, you know, Mitch was there, Mitch Landrieu, who did a lot of the infrastructure work for President Biden. He's now doing campaign work for him. He's also a former mayor, right? Former mayor of New Orleans. And so there's a vernacular, I think, that sometimes mayors have talking to each other about, you know, what do you got to do to get it done? But he was there to sort of like hear from people who were involved in that. So he heard about the electric buses that the federal government has helped paid for. He heard about these adult high school program. We have the largest adult high school program in the state of Wisconsin, thanks to the resources that President Biden has sent here. And we have this youth employment program. So it was just three of the things that we've been able to do with federal funds. It allowed us to sort of show off to Mitch Landrieu and through him to the president on some of the good work we've been able to do because of the resources they've sent our way.
His name sounds very familiar. It's a Louisiana name. You can tell it, Landrieu. Yeah. But did he have relatives in?
Yeah, there's been Landrieus who've been senators and other things before them. I think his father was, don't quote, I'm not 100% sure, but I think his father and other family members have been elected officials as well.
Yeah, because that name sounds very familiar. It's very Louisiana-ish.
It is, yes.
When you think about it. So, real quickly, I've got a minute or so left here. Is there anything you want to tell the constituents here in the city of Racine?
Well, just the programs we started with, I encourage people to take a look at it. Go to Build Up Racine if you are interested in those home repair loans. And if you've got a 16 to 24-year-old in the household or a grandchild or a neighbor or whoever who think they've got some good talent and you want to match them up with the opportunities to maybe work in the city someday, go to Grow Racine and check that out and let the kids know. And we open up the applications for that next week.
And also, if you want the text messaging when to take out the garbage, go to the City of Racine website. And I forget how I did it. My neighbor walked me through it.
Yeah, if you type in City of Racine garbage pickup, and it'll come up. It's a program called Recollect is what the text program is called. And you can sign up. And if you want the reminder the night before your garbage needs to go out, it just comes to you. It's like, hey, it's garbage day tomorrow. Or, hey, it's garbage and recycling tomorrow. Just got another one reminding me, hey, leaf pickup is right now.
And you get to pick the time.
You do.
I picked 4:00 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Because I just, most of the time I don't take my shoes off then. I'm not relaxed yet. I didn't prepare my dinner and I could take out the garbage.
Yeah.
And, you know, kudos to the city services. I got to tell you something here. When I drive in sometimes, I see some of the way that people display their garbage. Everything I have is in a can, you know, the container. But people have them overflowing. They have stuff laying outside. They got all this stuff. And, you know, it's all picked up. If it was me, again, I'd last about 6 seconds in that job. I'd go to the house, knock on there, and say, clean it up yourself.
Right.
So I went, but kudos to the city services.
Yeah, DPW guys, they do a great job. They do it day after day.
You know, one time I ran out there, and it was a hot day in the summer, and he's lifting all this stuff. And I said, do you want a cold water? And he said, okay. And I gave him a cold water to take. It's just like, they don't have, you know, the old days they had to pick up the garbage pails themselves and put them in the back of the truck, which is hard enough. But still, you got to push this stuff, and you still have to pick stuff off of the ground that people left there.
Yeah.
Now, technically, they don't have to pick up what's on the ground. It's your job to make sure it's in the container. But they do it.
They do it.
So kudos to them. Kudos to the people at Pearl Street, too.
Yeah.
Always taking our waste down there at Pearl Street. They're always making it neat.
Yep.
After you dump all your waste, they push it back with the plows.
That's right.
They have the... Everything is so neat and orderly, and they're always open. They're always nice to you.
Yeah, no, they do a great job. And look, keeping the community clean is really important.
And it's snow time. The plow trucks come by. As soon as I clean out my driveway, they put the snow back. I mean, I really...
Yeah.
You know, I got to tell you sometimes I'm getting ready to come to work. I'll clean everything out. I'll shovel it out. And the truck comes by and puts it all back. And occasionally, I'll see him shrug. It's like, I'm sorry. What do you want me to do? Right. I got to clean the street.
Yeah.
But he does that. Well, thank you for coming in, Mayor.
Oh, my pleasure. We'll do it again.
We do. And next time you come in, the new studio.
I'm excited to see it.
Yeah. You got to take your shoes off when you go in there. Though.
Fair enough.
No. Thank you very much for coming. And thank Ellen in your office, too.
I will do
that. She always gets all the stuff ready for me and you and so forth. And I thank goodness there are people like you because... I wouldn't last long in that job. I'd be screaming, yelling. You have the nice, perfect demeanor for this job.
Well, you know, it's a great honor to be able to serve the people of your hometown. And I give them thanks for having confidence in me and letting me do this job for another
time. We're lucky to have you, too. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Don.
I'm Don Rosen. 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. We're back again with more stuff here at WRJN Radio. Hometown Radio Refreshed, a civic media station.